You know that underlying anxiety that comes with renting an apartment?
Oh, yeah, the constant fear of the landlord.
Exactly. Like you can paint the walls or, mount your TV and put down an expensive rug to make the space feel like your own personal sanctuary.
Right.
But the reality is, well, the landlord holds the physical keys. So the moment you miss a rent payment or, the moment they decide to sell the building, you are just out.
You're out on the street because it's the illusion of ownership, really. You are paying for temporary access and you tolerate that precarious nature of the arrangement just because you need a roof over your head.
But if we look back at the history of the video game industry, it operated on the exact opposite model for decades.
Totally.
You walked into a brick and mortar store, you handed over your cash, and you walked out with a physical cartridge or
And
disc.
you put it on your shelf.
You put it on your shelf and it was yours. It was immune to server shutdowns. It was immune to like weird licensing disputes. But looking at the digital landscape today, we have fully entered the landlord era of gaming.
We really have. It is a radical shift in the psychological contract between the player and the platform. We've willingly traded digital permanence for the ultimate frictionless convenience of the subscription model.
Which brings us to the mission of today's deep dive. Because today is Sunday, May 3, 2026.
The big week.
The big week. That means in exactly 48 hours, a massive wave of value is about to drop across the entire gaming ecosystem.
It's honestly a little overwhelming.
It is. So we are pulling our insights today from an extensive source text, which is the May 2026 Comprehensive Guide to Free Video Games.
Great guide.
And we're going to analyze the current strategies driving PlayStation Plus, Xbox Game Pass, the Epic Games Store, Amazon Prime, and Apple Arcade.
Because looking at this comprehensively is, frankly, it's the only way to make sense of the market right now. The sheer volume of software being distributed is unprecedented.
It's staggering. Between all of these platforms for you sitting at home, there is over $300 in combined retail value being handed out to subscribers this month alone.
Over $300. That's wild.
But before we get into the actual mechanics of these games, help contextualize this for us. Like, why is May 2026 such a heavy-hitting month? What is the economic pressure forcing these publishers to give away so much premium software right now?
So what you are witnessing is really the climax of an incredibly expensive battle for player retention. The industry has basically hit a saturation point. Acquiring a brand new subscriber in 2026 costs a fortune in marketing. So executives have realized that the real existential threat isn't, failing to find new
It's
players.
just losing the ones they have.
Exactly. It's existing players deciding to hit that cancel subscription button because they haven't touched their console in 3 weeks. To prevent that churn, platforms are basically forced to maintain a heavy, constant drip of high-quality content.
So we are essentially benefiting from their desperation to keep us engaged.
Precisely. I mean, it is a golden era for you as a consumer, provided you navigate it correctly.
Okay, so how do we navigate it?
The core philosophy to keep in mind as we evaluate these services is that subscribing to everything is a trap. The goal is to identify which specific ecosystem aligns with your hardware, your available free time, and, your tolerance for digital rental versus actual ownership.
Okay, let's test that philosophy on what I like to call the premium battleground.
The heavyweights.
The heavyweights, exactly. I want to look at PlayStation and Xbox first. They demand the highest monthly fees, but their approaches to delivering value have diverged wildly recently.
Very true.
Let's start with PlayStation Plus Essential, which to me, it operates kind of like a highly curated buffet.
That is the perfect analogy. Sony's not trying to overwhelm the essential tier subscriber with a library of 400 games.
No, they're not.
They are serving a very specific three-course meal that's designed to hit distinct demographic targets.
And starting this Tuesday, May 5, your $9.99 a month is unlocking $154.97 in retail value.
That's a huge return on 10 bucks.
It is. And the massive headliner here is EA Sports FC 26. But I look at this and I immediately wonder about the
This is
economics.
her.
This is a colossal AAA sports title, and Sony is putting it on their lowest tier just 6 months after its global launch. Why sacrifice those direct sales?
Well, because the direct retail sale of a sports game is no longer the primary revenue driver.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just the entry fee to the actual casino.
Ah, right.
The real money is in the ultimate team microtransactions. By putting FC26 on PlayStation Plus, EA is instantly injecting millions of new, highly active players into that ecosystem.
Right, as the mid-season engagement might typically start to flag, probably?
Exactly. It revitalizes the player base.
That makes total sense. You are widening the top of the funnel to catch more of those microtransaction whales. And the game itself has expanded significantly to support that, right?
Oh, massively. They've split the physics engine into two distinct presets now.
Oh, right. Authentic and competitive.
Yeah. Authentic gameplay is for the players who want that heavy simulation-style momentum.
Uh-huh.
But competitive gameplay strips out some of those lengthy physics animations.
To ensure frame-perfect responsiveness for the online ranked grinds, I assume?
You got it. Plus, PS Plus members are getting an exclusive icons pack for Ultimate Team this month.
Which is the immediate hook to get those newly injected players invested in their virtual squads. Right. That's just brilliant ecosystem management.
It really is.
But then we look at the second game on this curated buffet, and I have to admit, I am completely baffled by Sony's strategy here.
With Wucheng.
Yes, Wucheng, Fallen Feathers. They are giving away a $59.99 retail game. It's a PS5 console exclusive, and it reviewed incredibly well last year.
It's a fantastic game.
So I understand the EA Sports funnel, but giving away a premium single-player action RPG, that feels like Sony is just cannibalizing their own software attach rate. Are they just that desperate for subscriber attention?
I mean, it looks like cannibalization on the surface, but it is actually about extreme genre diversification.
How so?
Sony knows that the hardcore action RPG demographic likely has zero interest in a mainstream soccer simulation.
Fair point.
So if EAFC 26 is the retention tool for the casual market, Wucheng is the anchor, keeping the dedicated, hardcore player from canceling their membership.
I see. You need a prestige title to justify the monthly fee to the enthusiast crowd.
Exactly.
And Wucheng definitely caters to that crowd. It's a really deep, punishing Souls-like set in the final years of the Ming Dynasty.
But what really elevates it is how it integrates its narrative into the moment-to-moment combat loop.
Right, the plague mechanics.
Yeah, you play as a pirate warrior infected with a feathering plague, which is this horrific disease mutating the population. But the game turns that plague into a risk-reward mechanic.
So you're not just dodging and blocking.
No, you can actually lean into the infection to access devastating combo modifiers and animation cancels.
But at a cost, right.
A huge cost. It drains your own vitality and sanity meters.
Wow, so you are forced to constantly ride this razor's edge, using the very thing that is destroying the game's world to power your own progression.
It's so tense.
That is a fantastic mechanical twist on the standard stamina bar combat we see in so many of these games.
It forces a highly aggressive playstyle.
Yeah.
And to complete that diversification strategy, Sony is offering a third title this month.
Right, Nine Sollers, which retails for $24.99. It's this gorgeous 2D action platformer steeped in, like, Taoist cyberpunk aesthetics.
It's beautiful. But the critical thing to understand about Nine Sols is the combat rhythm.
Okay.
A lot of 2D action games rely on iframe dodging, you know, rolling through attacks. Nine Sols aggressively rejects that.
Oh, interesting.
And the entire combat sandbox is built around Sekiro-style deflection mechanics. You have to stand your ground and perfectly parry incoming strikes to build up a resource called chi.
And then you detonate that chi on the enemy.
Exactly. It's all about rhythm.
So it demands absolute frame-perfect precision. If Wucheng is for the player who wants to manage complex stats and risk-reward meters, Nine Sols is for the player who wants pure, unfiltered reflex challenges.
You nailed it. A mainstream live-service sports game, a massive 3D historical action RPG, and a surgically precise 2D indie.
Wow.
It is a calculated spread to ensure that no matter what subculture of gaming you belong to, you feel like your $10 is validated this month.
Okay, let's shift our focus to the other side of this premium battleground, Xbox Game Pass.
Big one.
Yeah. If Sony is carefully curating a monthly buffet, Microsoft's strategy has traditionally been throwing the entire kitchen sink at the consumer on day one.
Right.
But I really struggle to see the value proposition of Game Pass right now. Microsoft just announced they are removing the next Call of Duty from day one access, right?
Yeah, delaying it by a full year for subscribers.
Given that COD is arguably the biggest franchise in the world, doesn't that fundamentally destroy the day one identity that Game Pass built its entire brand on?
I mean, it is a massive disruption to their brand identity, undoubtedly. But you have to look at the unsustainable math of modern AAA development.
The budgets are just too big.
They're ballooning past $300 million.
Yeah.
Microsoft realized that cannibalizing 30 million retail sales of Call of Duty to chase a flat subscription fee simply doesn't balance the ledger anymore.
It's just not viable.
They had to pivot to remain solvent.
But they also restructured the pricing. They dropped Game Pass Ultimate from $29.99 down to $22.99 a month.
And the PC tier dropped to $13.99.
Right. So I guess the question is, does a $7 price drop compensate for losing access to a $70 cultural juggernaut?
Well, the source text argues that May 2026 is Microsoft's proof of concept for this new stabilized model.
Okay, so.
Because even without Call of Duty, they are delivering over $110 in retail value from just two day one releases this month.
Yeah.
And these are not small titles to pad the schedule.
No, they are massive in their own right. We are talking about Forza Horizon 6 dropping on May 19th.
Huge release.
The Forza Horizon series is effectively the gold standard for the open world racing genre at this point.
It really is.
Yeah.
And what is fascinating about this release is the underlying technology Microsoft is leveraging.
The ecosystem integration.
Yes, it's flawless. If you have a high-end PC rig, the game supports native ultra-wide resolutions and uncapped frame rates right out of the box.
That's great for the hardcore PC crowd.
But the real achievement is the cloud gaming infrastructure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The latency improvements Microsoft has made mean you can stream a hyper-realistic high-speed racing game to a standard laptop or tablet.
Wait, without the input delay rendering the car undrivable?
Exactly. It's incredibly responsive.
Which proves the viability of Game Pass beyond the physical Xbox console. You are paying the $22.99 for access to their server blades, essentially.
Precisely.
And then, just 5 days earlier, on May 14, they are dropping Subnautica 2, day one.
I cannot wait for this. The original Subnautica is a masterclass in atmospheric tension.
It really is. It weaponized thalassophobia better than any horror game I've ever played.
Absolutely terrifying.
Exploring that alien ocean planet, dealing with the crushing depth and the incredibly hostile leviathans, but doing it in a world that was stunningly vibrant and alive. It wasn't just a survival game, it was an ecology simulator.
And the sequel is pushing those mechanics much deeper, no pun intended.
Right.
They aren't just adding new biomes, they are fundamentally refining the survival logic.
Like the base building.
Yes. Yeah. The base building is significantly more complex, requiring you to manage localized pressure systems and power grids depending on the depth of your habitat.
That sounds intense.
And the ecosystem itself is more reactive to your presence. A game of that scope and systemic depth would easily retail for around $39.99.
So if you do the math, playing Forza Horizon 6 and Subnautica 2 through Game Pass this month essentially pays for 5 months of the Ultimate subscription up front.
The value is absolutely there, even without Call of Duty.
But even with that price drop, Game Pass still suffers from the landlord problem we talked about at the beginning.
Right, the impermanence.
The second your credit card expires, or the moment Microsoft decides a game needs to leave the service, your library evaporates.
Poof. Gone.
Which brings us to the PC ecosystem, where the dynamic shifts entirely from renting to permanent digital ownership.
This is where we see platforms utilizing games as loss leaders to build long-term consumer habits.
I look at the Epic Game Store strategy, and it feels like the digital equivalent of a grocery store putting milk in the very back aisle and selling it at a massive loss.
That's exactly what it is.
Epic is currently giving away over $100 in games every month for free. The cost to you is zero. You just have to physically open their launcher, clip the digital coupon, and claim the game within a 1 week window.
And once you do, it sits in your library forever. No subscription required.
Right. It's crazy.
They're essentially buying your engagement. Epic has given away over 400 games since they started this initiative in 2018.
400 games.
The psychology here relies on sunk cost. If they can give you enough high-quality free games, like building up a library of 50 or 60 titles over a year, you are statistically far more likely to open the Epic Launcher instead of Steam the next time you actually want to purchase a new release.
They are bribing you to break your Steam habit.
And it is a lucrative bribe for the consumer. On May 7, they're offering two brilliant indies.
Okay, let's talk about those.
The first is Arranger, which is a puzzle RPG with a phenomenal movement mechanic.
I saw this. You don't just walk around the map, right?
No. Every time your character moves, the entire row or column of tiles you are standing on shifts with you.
Oh, wow.
It transforms combat and exploration into this massive, interconnected sliding puzzle. You have to think spatially about how engaging an enemy on one side of the screen will physically alter the terrain on the other side.
It's game design at its most elegant. And paired with that is Trash Goblin, which sits squarely in that booming, cozy game demographic.
Oh, I love this one.
You play as a goblin running a shop, And the core gameplay loop involves physically scrubbing, chipping away dirt, and restoring discarded trinkets.
It taps into the exact same tactile, dopamine-driven satisfaction as power washing simulators or like unboxing videos. It is incredibly soothing.
And the beauty is, you claim a Ranger and Trash Goblin this week, and they are yours.
Forever.
But if we are talking about permanent ownership, we have to look at Amazon Prime Gaming. I consider this the ultimate hidden benefit.
Most people don't even know they have it.
Exactly. You are probably already paying $14.99 a month for Amazon Prime just to get your paper towels and coffee beans delivered in 2 days, which means this massive gaming vault is essentially a sunk cost benefit.
The amount of value people simply leave on the table with Prime Gaming is astounding. In May, Amazon is offering over 10 permanent PC games.
10 games just for having Prime.
And the most crucial aspect of this is the distribution method. Amazon partners with multiple storefronts, but they heavily utilize GOG.
Right, and GOG's entire architecture is built around being DRM-free, which is the holy grail for game preservation.
Absolutely. Because GOG strips out the digital rights management code, the game is never forced to, like, phone home to an authentication server to verify that you have the right to play it.
You are not tethered to a launcher.
Exactly. You can download the raw executable file, store it on a physical hard drive, and install it on a machine with zero internet connection 20 years from now.
You can mod it to your heart's content. You can archive it. You can back it up. You actually own the software, which is increasingly rare.
Extremely rare.
And beyond the permanent vault, Prime Gaming is also injecting immense value into live service titles. They're giving away monthly premium loot drops, cosmetic skins, and currency bundles for massive games like League of Legends, Apex Legends, and Fortnite.
It is a remarkable package of ongoing digital assets hidden behind a shipping logistics subscription.
So we have explored the high-end hardware of PS5 and Xbox, the hardcore mechanics of survival sims and Metroidvanias, and the consumer rights of DRM-free PC gaming.
We've covered a lot.
But what about the segment of the audience that doesn't care about ultra-wide rendering or frame-perfect pairing? What about the parent who just wants a safe digital environment for their kids without constantly monitoring a credit card?
This is a demographic that is drastically underserved by traditional gaming media, but it represents a massive portion of the market. They are looking for safety, predictability, and simplicity.
Enter Apple Arcade.
Right.
The specs on the service are incredibly straightforward. It's $6.99 a month or $49.99 for an annual pass. It grants access to over 200 games that seamlessly cross-save across your iPhone, iPad, Mac, and Apple TV.
The ecosystem integration is great.
And it also includes family sharing for up to 6 people. On May 7, they are dropping Nick Jr. Replay, which aggregates over 50 retro titles featuring IPs like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Dora the Explorer, and Blue's Clues.
A lot of nostalgic stuff.
But let me challenge the value proposition here. If I am a parent, the App Store is overflowing with tens of thousands of free games targeted at children.
Right. Totally free.
So why would I commit to a $7 monthly fee just so my kid can play a door game?
Because the free games on the App Store are rarely actually free. When you pay for Apple Arcade, you are not really paying for the software. You are paying for an insurance policy against dark patterns.
Okay, explain how those dark patterns actually function in the free-to-play market.
Most free mobile games are delivery mechanisms for predatory behavioral psychology.
Okay.
They introduce artificial friction, like timers that stop a child from playing unless they wait 4 hours or pay to skip.
Oh, yeah, the wait timers are the worst.
And they obfuscate real-world money by converting it into multiple layers of premium currencies, like gems or gold coins, which confuses the brain's ability to assess financial risk.
Especially a child's brain.
Exactly. And they pepper the interface with unskippable advertisements that often redirect to age-inappropriate content.
So the kid hits a wall, gets frustrated, clicks a shiny chest, and suddenly the parent's attached credit card is charged $100 for a bundle of virtual diamonds.
Exactly. The core architectural rule of Apple Arcade is zero advertisements and zero in-app purchases. It bypasses that entire predatory ecosystem.
Wow.
It creates a walled garden where a child can explore, experiment, and download any of those 200 games without a parent having to hover over their shoulder, scrutinizing every single screen tap.
That's huge for parents.
In today's digital landscape, the peace of mind that comes with a clean, unmonetized user experience is worth exponentially more than the $7 entry fee.
That reframes it completely. You are buying a safe harbor.
Absolutely.
All right, we have covered a massive spectrum of the industry today. Let's synthesize all of this. Based on your specific game profile, here are your action items for May 2026.
the takeaways.
Yes. If you are deeply invested in the PlayStation ecosystem, the $9.99 for PS Plus Essential is undeniably worth it this month. Experiencing the physics engine of EA FC 26, the risk-reward combat of Wuchang, and the precision of Nine Sols is an incredible value.
Totally agree.
If you have an Xbox or a capable PC, that $22.99 for Game Pass Ultimate proves its worth entirely on the backs of Forza Horizon 6 and Subnautica 2.
The math on both of those premium tiers is unassailable this month.
It really is. If you are looking to build a permanent library without spending a dime, your mission is to log into the Epic Games Store every Thursday and claim your Lost Leader titles.
Set an alarm on your phone.
And check your Amazon Prime account for those DRM-free GOG codes. Do not leave that value sitting on the server.
Seriously.
Finally, if you are managing a household of kids with iPads, secure that Apple Arcade subscription and buy yourself the peace of mind that comes with a monetization-free environment.
It ultimately comes down to understanding the mechanisms of these platforms so you can make the ecosystem work for your habits, rather than letting the platforms dictate how you consume media.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the May 2026 landscape, what is the final thought you want to leave our listener chewing on?
Well, we have spent a lot of time today breaking down the mechanics of over $300 worth of incredible games. But the overwhelming majority of that value is locked inside overlapping rental ecosystems.
Right.
As the economic pressures of the industry push us further and further into these subscription models, where brilliant games simply vanish into the ether the moment a licensing deal expires or our credit card declines, we have to ask ourselves something important.
What's that?
Are we willfully trading the permanence of our gaming history for the temporary dopamine hit of endless variety? I would encourage you to take a hard look at your own digital library this week. Ask yourself, how many of the games that genuinely matter to you do you actually own? And should you be prioritizing DRM-free platforms to archive those experiences while the option still exists?
That is a phenomenal question to end on, because no matter how beautiful the apartment looks or, you know, how much you enjoy the amenities, it is always better when you actually hold the keys.